It's such a joy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. And as a pastor, I'm so thankful for those that come Sunday morning. I'm really thankful for those that come back Sunday night. And man, those that come back Sunday night, praise the Lord for our Wednesday night. Praise the Lord for that. We're just so thankful to be in God's house, around God's people. And I've learned this, that God's people are the best people to be around. And there's nothing like being around God's people in God's house. And like Pastor, they just call you Pastor Leo around here. Like Pastor Leo said, 39 and a half minutes is what it took us to get here. And I promise you that the message that the Lord's given us, as long as the Lord leads, I think it'd be less than 39 and a half minutes. Amen? Can I get an amen there? All right. If it's over 39 and a half minutes, everyone gets a $10 bill, all right? So you're like, oh, hang on, just drag it out. I'm just kidding. But amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house, and so sorry to hear, Pastor, about the wrist, and we're praying for you, and what a joy it is to be at Charity Baptist Church, and we're so thankful for that. There's life, and we're thankful for that. So let's take our Bibles tonight. I hope you have your Bible. I hope you brought your Bible to church. Amen? And 2 Chronicles chapter 34 is where we're going to be at tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34 is where we're going to look at the scripture that God has given us tonight. I heard somebody say, if done properly, being a pastor is a walk in the park. Jurassic Park, but a park, amen? And pastoring's not easy. And we love pastors, and we thank God for pastors. And I am a pastor, and I know what it's like. And so we're thankful for Bethel Baptist Church that the Lord's allowed us to pastor. And I remember when I was in Pensacola Christian College, I met my wife Stephanie there. I had zero plans, zero desire to be a pastor, to be a preacher. In fact, I told my parents that that's one thing I would never do, is be a preacher. And I saw my dad go through everything and pastoring, and I was like, there's no way. And so I pulled a Jonah, and I ran from God. And finally, when I was at 33 years of age, I surrendered to preach. And there's a story there, but we'll get that next time. I surrendered to preach at 33. And then by the time I was 36, I was pastoring Bethel Baptist Church, and the Lord had a plan in it, and it's amazing what God can do through a life that's yielded to Him. And let me tell you tonight, surrender to the Lord. If you're not saved, surrender to Him and get saved. Amen. And if you are saved, the Christian life, the surrendered life, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. You'll never regret it. Amen. 2 Chronicles 34. We're going to read verse number 1 through 8. We'll look at a few portions of Scripture here. And 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse number 1. If you found your place, say amen. All right. If you still need time, say hang on. All right, you're there. Amen. 2 Chronicles 34. My people at my church, they're not afraid to say, hang on, Pastor. 2 Chronicles 34. You're being nice. Thank you. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 1, the Bible says this, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. My son Levi that just sang, he's 8 years old, and I cannot imagine the nightmare of him in control of anything, amen? He's just barely learning how to tie his shoes, amen? I don't know about him reigning, I mean, being king. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, amen? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Amen. Here's somebody that knew what he was doing. He was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. He wasn't veering off to the right, wasn't veering off to the left. He's walking a straight path for the Lord. The Bible says in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God, after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, he had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel. He returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Look at verse number 14 in the same passage here. The Bible says, "And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And when they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes." So in the first few verses of the chapter here, Josiah is making decisions for Christ at an early age. At a young age, he's seeking after God. What a testament that is. What a testament that is, young person. when you're 10, 12, 14, 16, I love it, you're going to camp. You make decisions for Christ, and I love that. And this is what Josiah was doing. And he said, we're going to get rid of all these evil things in the house of the Lord. We're going to clean up the house of the Lord. And while they were doing that, and while he gave the orders to do that, they came back to the king and said, we found the book. We found the book of the law. And they read it before the king, and he rent his clothes. Look at verse number 29 of the same chapter. It says, and the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. In all his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. I was drawn to verse number 31. As we'll break down this passage here this evening, I was drawn to verse number 31, where the king, he's reading the book of the law to all the people, and he gathers them all together. And the Bible says in verse 31, and the king stood in his place. The king stood in his place. Now I'm going to give you the message that the Lord has given us tonight, standing in your place. Standing in your place. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we're so thankful to be here. Lord, we're thankful for the songs, and we're thankful that we can sing Standing on the Promises. And Lord, what a wonderful truth that is. Lord, thank you for the baptism. Lord, what a wonderful step in the Christian life. Lord, I pray that you would work in this brother's heart and just use him for you. And Lord, use this church to be a mighty example and a mighty testimony in this community. Bless the pastor and his wife and children. Use them and continue to help them and bless them, Lord, in the days ahead. Lord, we're thankful for you. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us tonight. Give us the unction to function, Lord, we pray. And we love you. In your name, amen. When Solomon died between 926 and 922 BC, the 10 northern tribes refused to submit to his son Rehoboam, and they revolted. So from this point on, there would be a divided kingdom. There would be the northern kingdom of Israel, and the southern kingdom would be Judah. In the northern kingdom, all the kings that came along, they were all bad, wicked kings. They did evil. The Bible says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. There was Jeroboam, there's Omri, maybe you remember Ahab, and they all did evil and wicked in the sight of the Lord. In the southern kingdom, there was Judah in the southern kingdom, and there were some bad kings for sure, but there were some good kings. There were some good kings that did right, and they did right, the Bible says, in the sight of the Lord. There was Asa. Asa was one that did right in the sight of the Lord, and man, he started off well, and you remember Asa had some battles and had some testing that came his way, and there were the Ethiopians that were coming at them, and there was a million of them. them, and they had 580,000. And Asa, he gets before the Lord, and he says, Lord, it's nothing for you to take care of this problem that I have. It's nothing for you to take care of this battle. You can do it. And he said this. He said, Lord, and he prayed to God, and he said, help us. Man, I tell you what, there's been a lot of times in our life where, as a Christian, the best thing we can do is say, Lord, help us. We don't even know what to do. Help us. And so, and God says, the Bible says that the Lord destroyed the Ethiopians before Asa and all the people, and they just got to watch it. They didn't have to raise a weapon or do anything. And God did it, and God was working in Asa's life. Later on in his life, he stops relying on the Lord. You remember that? And he got a disease in his feet. And the Bible says that he relied not on the Lord God, he relied on the physicians. And it was a strange thing, but Asa was primarily a good king in the southern kingdom. There was Jehoshaphat. The Bible says that he sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments. There was Hezekiah. He did great. The Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then there was Josiah. We read about Josiah here. He was a great king. He was special. At 8 years old, he becomes the king, and he did what was right in God's sight. Didn't veer to the right, didn't veer to the left. At 16, the Bible says that he began to seek after God. At the age of 20, he began to purge the land of idolatry. At age 26, he began to repair the house of the Lord. And by the time he was 39, he would be killed in battle. But his life was a life of decisions for the Lord. At 8 and 16 and 20 and 26, in those formidable years. But I was looking at this portion of Scripture, and the Lord began to stir my heart on the verse 31 there, that the king stood in his place. And I just want to give you this message. I pray to be a challenge to you, Christian. A challenge to you to stand in your place, wherever your place is. To stand up for the Lord. I just want to give you what Josiah did. When he was standing in his place, the first thing he did, number one, he proclaimed the word. He proclaimed the word. He got up, and the king stood in his place, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies. And you know what? I would say this, preacher, Christian, people are not really, they're not too concerned about your opinions. And when I preach, I'm not looking to give opinions out. I'm trying to give out what thus saith the Lord. And when we give out what God wants us to give, we don't preach our opinions, because nobody cares about my opinion. They're coming to get a word from the Lord. And your members, members, we need a word from the Lord. I remember I was reading this about Billy Sunday, the old-time preacher, baseball player. He wrote this in the front of his Bible. He said this, 29 years ago, with the Holy Spirit as my guide, I entered at the portico of Genesis, walked down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries where pictures of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel hung on the wall. I passed into the music room of Psalms, where the Spirit sweeps the keyboard of nature until it seems that every reed and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. I entered the chamber of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher is heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon and the lily of the valley, where sweet spices filled and perfumed my life. I entered the business office of Proverbs, and on into the observatory of the prophets, where I saw telescopes of various sizes pointing to far-off events, concentrating on the bright and morning star which was to rise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thence into the correspondence room with Paul, Peter, James, and John writing the epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where tower the glittering peaks, where sits the King of Kings upon his throne of glory, with the healing of nations in his hand. And I cried out, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. And so Josiah, here's what Josiah, he hears the word of God, and he gets everybody together, and he proclaims the word of God. The word of God did a couple things to Josiah, and the Bible talks about it. The word of God, first of all, it moved him. It moved him. The Bible says, and we read it in verse number 19, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. He rent his clothes. And the Bible says in verse 27, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. So what did the word of God do? He proclaimed the word of God, but the word of God moved him. It moved him. The Bible said that he rent his clothes, and the Bible says that he wept when he heard the word of God, and he heard the words of the Lord. And I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Does the word of God, does it even move you anymore? Does it move you? When you read the Word of God, do you get up and I hope you read the Word of God every day, and I hope you read it and gather and glean what God has for you in this life. It really is the instruction manual for our lives. If there's a Christian and you're not really reading the Word of God, you'll have no direction. You'll have no growth. You'll not know what to do in your life. But with the Holy Spirit's help, you pray and say, Lord, do something. I need a word from you today. And reading it, does it move you? Does the Word of God move you? Or perhaps it bores you. Maybe you're just reading it to check off a list. You say, well, I checked that box off. And I was saying this, I was going over the scriptures here, and I know how some people just read it, and they say, and I've heard people tell me and say, man, I didn't get anything out of that. I didn't get anything out of that. And they're reading chapters and to read the Bible through in the year, which is great. But sometimes, maybe you read a verse, and maybe you're reading in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and the Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Maybe you read that. Maybe it just touches your heart. And maybe the Lord is speaking to you, and you're broken. And you know what? That might be sufficient for the day. That might be sufficient as you read and the Word of God moves you. Does the Word of God move you? It moved Josiah. He proclaimed the Word. The Word of God, it moved him, but then it motivated him. It motivated him because the Bible says the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord. He made a covenant before the Lord. What was he going to do? To walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments. He was a doer of the Word, amen? To walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, to keep his testimonies, to keep his statutes, and he was going to do it with all his heart and with all his soul. And the Word of God, it not only moved him, but it motivated him. Does the Word of God motivate you? You know what? Does the Word of God, as you read it and as it moves you, does it motivate you to do something for the Lord? This Bible, when you read it, it should motivate you. It should motivate you. It should say, there's work for me to do. There's something I do. Because the Bible is piercing. It's sharp. It is sharp, and it's a two-edged sword, and it's piercing, and it pierces your soul when you read the Word of God. And so the Word of God, as Josiah is standing in his place, he proclaims the Word of God. The Word of God moved him. The Word of God motivated him. If you have five show up next Sunday morning, you know what Pastor Leo's going to do? Just proclaim the Word of God. If you have 50 show up, you know what Pastor Leo is going to do? You know what I'm going to do at Bethel Baptist Church or wherever the Lord leads us? We're just going to proclaim the Word of God. And what we need in this day, what we need in this hour is men of God that will stand behind the pulpit, men on the workplace, women on the workplace, wherever in your neighbor, wherever you're at in your family, we just need to proclaim the Word of God. We need to proclaim the Word of God. And it will help us. It will motivate us. There's a lot of churches today that honestly, that don't even open up the Word of God. There was a pastor's fellowship that I was at not too long ago. They asked me to preach at the pastor's fellowship, and I was one of three preachers. And so I was the second preacher. The first preacher got up. He walked to the pulpit with his Bible, and he set it on the pulpit. And then he walked around the front, and he said a lot of things. And he went on about all sorts of things. And I guess maybe things that were bothering him or bugging him or something like that. He went on, and he asked the pastor, he said, how much time do I have? And he said, you got 30 minutes. And so he just went on for about 30 minutes right down front. And then he prayed, and then he sat down. And not one time did he open his Bible. And to me, that's not preaching. That's not good preaching. And I'm not saying I'm smarter than anybody else. I don't know anything on my own. But I can get up here and say, this is what God is saying. This is what you need. And I can proclaim the Word of God. And you ought to be able to proclaim the Word of God. It ought to move you. It ought to motivate you. It ought to be something in your life. If somebody says, hey, tell me about you're going to church. Tell me about salvation. You said you're going to heaven. How do you know that? How do you know that? Can you prove it? Do you know that? Can you prove your faith? Can you prove what the Bible says? And so there's so many out there that say, yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. But then they get messed up because they cannot open up the Word of God. They can't proclaim it. They can't proclaim it to anybody else. Christians, stand in your place and proclaim the Word. Proclaim the Word of God. But you know what? Not only did he proclaim the Word. Number two, he was passionate regarding sin. He was passionate regarding sin as he stood in his place. The Bible says in verse number 33, "And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. In all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers." In 2 Kings chapter 23, we're talking about how he was passionate regarding sin. In 2 Kings 23, the Bible gives the account here of Josiah in verse number 4. It says, "And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the woman wove hangings for the grove." And so, Josiah is doing? He is passionate regarding sin and getting it out of the way. He was getting it all out of the way. He says, "We're getting rid of the Baal worship. We're getting rid of this worship to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and all the hosts of heaven. We're getting rid of the Sodomites. We're getting rid of all this, and we're stamping it out. And we don't want to have anything to do with it. We don't want it to come back here." Josiah was doing the right thing. Josiah stood before the Lord. He stood in the place with all the people gathered. He proclaimed the word of God because it moved him. It motivated him. And then he was passionate regarding sin. And the Bible says in verse number 11, you kind of get the idea of Josiah. Josiah meant business. In verse 11, "And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son, at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the son with fire, and the altars that were on top of the upper chamber in Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron." Man, that brook Kidron was getting full with all this stuff, amen? "In the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemoth, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men." And you go all the way through verse 20. All he's doing is getting rid of the sin. He's getting rid of the wickedness. He's getting rid of all the abominations. And he was very passionate regarding sin. He was very passionate. And when we proclaim the word of God, the Bible has a lot to say about sin. The Bible has a lot to say about things that we shouldn't do and that we should do. And the Bible is very clear. And it's not me saying that, hey, we don't need to do this and we don't need to do that. It's what thus saith the Lord. And there's a lot of things in the Bible. And so we just need to stand in our place and be passionate regarding sin. Let me ask you, father, mother, what are we allowing in our homes? What do we allow in our homes? What do we allow our children to listen to? We should be their teachers. Amen. We should be their teachers and teach them and understand what's wrong and what's gone. You say, well, there's this movie here, and I mean, it's just got like maybe just a couple bad words. It's got some things that are not right in it, but you know, overall, it's a pretty good movie. We should not allow it. We should not allow abominations. We should not allow wickedness in our homes. Here's what Josiah did. All the idols, they were gone. All the idolaters, they were gone. All the iniquity, they were gone. You know what Josiah was doing? He was just cleaning house. He was cleaning house. He said, "Man, I read the book of the law, and it moved him, and motivated him to do something, make a covenant with God that he was just going to serve Him, and he was going to do it with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind." We must stand in our place and preach against sin. Isaiah 58:1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." In Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 11, this gives permission to the preacher right here. Listen to this, all right? Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand and stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Amen. I don't know if Pastor Leo, if you ever smite with the hand or stomp with the foot, but you know what? Sometimes we should be passionate regarding sin. Amen. It ought to move us. It ought to move us. Abraham Lincoln said, I don't like to hear cut and dried sermons. He said, no, when I hear a man preach, I like to see him act as if he were fighting bees. Amen. How many of you ever gotten a fight with some bees, you know? He's like, get out of here, get out of here. Stand in your place, Christian. Stand in your place. Proclaim the word. Proclaim the word of God. And you know what the best thing you can do to somebody that's lost is not tell them everything you know of how to have a better life. The best thing you can do is just proclaim the word of God. You can go on your job and just proclaim the word of God. You can, and the best, fathers, the best thing for you to do in your home is to proclaim the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. Give them the Bible. That's the best thing that they can do. So stand in your place. Proclaim the word of God. Stand in your place. Be passionate regarding sin. Where are you at? Where's your life at? Where's your life? Does the word of God move you? Does it motivate you? Man, Josiah was moved. He was motivated. And Josiah was passionate regarding sin. Well, what about you? Are there things in your life? Are there things that you're going through? Are there things in your life that you know they shouldn't be there? You know what? The Holy Spirit is a wonderful God. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful convictor, is a wonderful presence in our lives. But then we see that he was standing in his place and he's proclaiming the word. He was passionate regarding sin. But then we see that the result of that was that the people followed the Lord. That the people followed the Lord. Verse number 33 says, and all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. And I've had many pastors say this, that the people just won't follow me. The people just won't follow me. And I agree that people should follow the pastor. But they follow their pastor much better if they were following the Lord. And if the pastor is standing in his place, and the pastor is proclaiming the word of God, and the pastor is passionate regarding sin, I believe the people would follow their pastor since he's following the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25, speaking about Josiah, it says, and like unto him, there was no king before that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. That's a powerful verse. This is saying this about Josiah. The Bible said that there's nobody, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. You know what the Lord is looking for today? He's not looking for people with great abilities. He's looking for somebody that's just available. And say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love your word. Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to proclaim your word. Lord, I don't want sin in my life. I want to get rid of the things that shouldn't be there. And Lord, I want to serve you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind. And you know what? God can do a great and a mighty work through anybody that has that attitude. Anybody that has the spirit that says, Lord, I know who I am. Lord, I know my weakness. Lord, I know where I'm at. I don't have all the great abilities. I might not be able to speak well. I might not have all these things going for me. But Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I need your help. Lord, would you help me? And I want to serve you with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. Man, God can do a great wonder. If Charity Baptist, if you all made a covenant, that's what Josiah did. He made a covenant. If you all made a covenant tonight, individually, you said, Lord, I'm just going to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Man, God can do a great work in your life. God can do a great work. God can start a revival in your home. God can start a revival in your home and in the church. So preacher, pastor, Christian, let us turn to the Lord. Let us stand in our place. You all have a place. Wherever your place is, your place is different than my place. God has allowed me, and God has called me into the ministry. In my place, I stand behind a pulpit multiple times a week. This last week, I stood in a pulpit six times during the week, and proclaiming Christ, proclaiming His Word. Whatever your place is, you might stand on, wherever your job is, whatever you're doing, and maybe in your family, wherever you're at, turn to the Lord. Stand in your place. Proclaim the Word. Proclaim the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Why don't you make a covenant to get into the Word of God? Let it move you. Let it motivate you. Be passionate regarding sin. And perhaps we'll find people that are following the Lord. There are people that are following the Lord. The last verse there said, Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And in all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. What a king, what a leader. Can you imagine if our leaders today, if they got up and did a press conference and says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take away all the abominations out of the country. We're going to get rid of all the abominations out of the country, and we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to serve Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Oh, man, when that caused quite a stir, wouldn't it? I'd say amen to that, amen to that. But we know where our leaders are at today, and they need prayer. But praise the Lord for Josiah, somebody that stood in his place, and he proclaimed the Word of God. He was passionate regarding sin, and the people followed after him, and they served the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their mind. So this is a challenge from the Word of God tonight. Where are you at? Does the Word of God motivate you? Does it move you? Are you passionate regarding sin in your life? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your Word. Lord, I pray that it would move us and motivate us to be doers of the Word. Help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight. Challenge us, convict us. Let the Holy Spirit shine a flashlight in our hearts of the things that are wrong. Help us to have a clear account before you, Lord. Let us be a clean vessel so we can be used. And help us to serve you with all of our heart, all our soul, and all our might. And to do everything we can for your glory in these days ahead. Lord, we're thankful for life. Lord, it's just a vapor. Lord, it's soon going to be gone. Lord, help us in this vapor that we're living to love you and serve you with everything we have. We love you. We thank you for it in your name. Amen.